Operation Promised Land. Yesterday, the Lord chose and set before us the commander that would lead the people of Israel into the Promised Land. And he commissioned him. And we had the commission that was given to him that was based on the promise that the Lord gave to Joshua, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." And it was a threefold commission on that foundation to be strong and of good courage. Strong and courage of taking possession of the land that God in his divine will had purposed to give his people whom he had chosen for a blessing. To be strong and courageous to keep the word of the law, to meditate in it day and night, and then he would have good success. And to be strong and to be courageous, and to be able to stand in the face of the enemy, knowing that the Lord would never leave him or forsake him. This was the commission that the Lord had given to Joshua. And then we came to verse 10 and 11, and Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, and he went to all the host, throughout the entire host, and he gave them the commission also to prepare themselves, to enter into the reality of what the Lord was going to do and to bring them into the promised land. Enter into this, what the Lord had purposed. Prepare yourselves, prepare victuals. Prepare what is necessary that we can go forth. Because though the Lord has given us this land of blessing, it is a land that we need to inherit, and it is a place where it needed to, that there would be battles to be fought in order to take the possession for themselves. The enemy was dwelling there, and the enemy needed to be removed. And so there were battles that needed to be prepared for. So there was these 3 days of preparation. But then it's interesting that we come to verse 12. Then specifically, Joshua is speaking to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and to a half-tribe of Manasseh. We know that the people of Israel were divided into 12 tribes. That was all of the people, 12 complete tribes. But now all of a sudden, there's a communication by Joshua to these 2.5 tribes that was separate and different from the other 12. How come? And in order to get an understanding of why this communication was necessary, it's always good for us in Scripture to go back to where this is first mentioned and to get the basis and foundation of what happened at such a time in order for this communication, for this situation now, for Joshua to follow through and be consistent with what has happened before. And that's what we find when we come to Numbers chapter 32. So if we go to Numbers chapter 32, and we read there much, the children of Reuben and the children of Gad. As Numbers chapter 32 opens before us, there's 2 tribes. And I specifically want to say that it wasn't 2.5 tribes, but that it was just 2 tribes. Very interesting for us. Okay? And these 2 tribes, let's note here that it says to us, they had a very great multitude of cattle. And when they came to the land of Gilead, that behold, the place was the place for cattle. And the children of Gad and Reuben came and spake to Moses and Eleazar the priest, and we read what they said to him, that they would like to stay here on the side of Jordan where they currently were, as Emil told us, in Camp Moab, and to stay there because now let's look around. The countryside is a place that is appropriate for us and for our cattle. Look at the country. Look at the grass. Look at the pastures. Look at what we have here. And their eyes turned and looked at the land in which they were. And they said, "This is appropriate for us." And I want to leave it here, and I want us to develop these thoughts as to Where are these two tribes? Where are they looking? Where are they finding for themselves what they feel, and I want to stress that, what they feel is appropriate for them? Why are they looking there? And are they going down the right road?
Why don't you all help us? Somebody must have a thought. What do you think, young people? This is a Bible study where we help one another. We're not here grading, check marking. Yeah, you got that right. What does someone hear? A young brother, help us to kind of get this developed a bit.
Go ahead. Well, the simplest explanation of why they want to stay there, besides the fact that it's good land, is they've been out in the wilderness for 40 years now. They are the new generation, which in our study we have realized that they are a little bit better generation than the generation before them. But they're tired and they just want to stay put. They're like the carnal Christian who says they're saved, but the way they walk doesn't back that up. They're not willing to cross the Jordan and to take their inheritance and to continue moving forward in their relationship with God.
Just to follow up on what you said, I think we get a big clue. When we see that in verse 1 of chapter 32, they saw the land of Jazer and Gilead. I think every time in Scripture, or almost every time, that we see someone saw something, you know, think of Samson who saw Delilah, or the woman of the Philistines, or you think about, you know, so many different people who saw someone, David seeing Bathsheba, or Lot seeing the land around Sodom and Gomorrah, that it was good for cattle. It was the same thing. They had the promise of God, but what they saw, what they could physically see, was more important to them than following specifically what God had promised to them.
If we use the figure of the Jordan being baptism, they did not want to give up the old man. They wanted to keep him alive and feeding him and not crucify him.
I think Uncle John mentioned this yesterday. We were looking at the verse where it said, every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses. And this applied to them here, also applies to us. We can't move ahead unless we have that willingness to, that step by step moving ahead. And unless we do that, we won't be in the position for God to bless us with what he has for us at that next step. And I think that's important to realize as we see these tribes. When they saw this land, they didn't want to take the next step across the Jordan, as Tim was saying. There was more blessing, but they were satisfied with the current position, as so often us as Christians are. I mean, especially from experience growing up in the assembly, we sometimes take it for granted. We often take it for granted what we have around us, and we... I was talking with the guys about this last night. We take what is said in the assembly at face value. We don't make things our own that are said from the word. We just take what we hear and go off that. And we think that because we are implanted in a good assembly, we have Christians around us, that we're okay and we're satisfied with what with just the basics, when there's so much more if we just take that next step. And as it says here, it's true. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I've given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses.